In early 2020, the world hit pause, and all of a sudden, life is very different for all of us. You may be struggling, you may be hopeful, you may be experiencing a variety of emotions and circumstances, but wherever you're at, it's worth taking a moment to reflect on what used to matter, what matters now, and what we'd like our world to look like when we press play again. Join me and let's explore this together. I'm Cara McCullough, and this is What's Important Now. All righty, we are live. Woo-hoo. Welcome to What's Important Now with today's guest, Kate Toon, who is a bloody legend, I have to say. Your reputation precedes you. So, Kate, tell us a bit about you, what you're up to, a little bit about your background.
Okay. So I guess I'm an entrepreneur. I don't really like that term. I call myself a misfit entrepreneur because I just think entrepreneurs are a little bit, I don't know. So I have a couple of different businesses. One is called The Recipe for SEO Success, where I teach people how to grapple Google, get more traffic and conversions and understand the world of SEO. And then my other business is The Clever Copywriting School, where I teach copywriters how to have a successful copywriting business. But I do a lot of stuff. I've got 3 podcasts. I run an annual conference. I have memberships, courses, shops. A lot of stuff, which I built up over the last 11 years. So I went off to do my own thing about 11 years ago, left corporate life, started Kate Toon as a copywriter. And it's all kind of snowballed from there, really, you know.
Wow. An adventure. Yeah, like I remember meeting you, I don't know, it would have been about 6 or 7 years ago at a pro blogger conference.
Yes.
And I think you just sort of started developing a lot of these different content systems. And then after that, it just kind of went whoosh, just took off it and here did. You are.
Yeah. Pro Blogger was a big part of that, really. That was the first sort of conference I ever went to. And I was trying to kind of move away from just being a day-to-day copywriter. Not that there's anything wrong with that. And I wanted to try out all these new things, you know, funnels and groups. I sometimes regret making that decision, but it's all done now. But yeah, that was quite a pivotal moment. And the year after, I think I spoke very briefly at Pro Blogger, and that really was the thing that kind of kicked it all off and changed my life. And here I am.
That's incredible. All right, so let's get into today's topic. So You're rocking along life. Everything's going as planned for this year. You've got big dreams. What's actually happening for you before the pandemic hits, and what was important to you?
It was going to be a big year for me. I was heading over to Europe to speak at a big conference, and it was quite a thrill because they paid for me to go and for my son.
Awesome.
Like flights, whatever, hotels. It was a big deal, and I was going to spend some time with my family. And then I was going back again in June, and I'd been paid to speak at another conference in the UK, and I was going to do this tour of England. I was going to Manchester, London, Birmingham, Edinburgh, Leeds. So I had a lot of speaking planned for the year, and then travel later on in the year. There's a couple of conferences I was going to be doing in Melbourne and Sydney and Thailand, and all of that's gone away. And to be honest, I'm absolutely delighted.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, tell me more about that.
Well, I think, you know, I have a bit of a me, myself, and I way of running my business, that me says yes to stuff, and then myself and I are the poor people that have to see it through. So, you know, being asked to speak at a conference in Holland sounds amazing and is amazing. But then, you know, the reality of traveling there with my son, seeing my parents, the time away from my business, my dog, my life, then going again a month later, jet lag, it's a lot. And also speaking at events, even though I've done a lot of it, it, you know, gets your adrenals going. It's exhausting. You're staying in hotels. You're out of your routine. It rocks you. It rocks your kind of mental health. It rocks your wellness. And it has real ripple effects on your business, because obviously I'm not there to do my business and I've got a lot going on. And that puts a lot of pressure on my team and the people who work for me. So yes, it's great, but it's not without consequences. And now not having to do that to be honest, it's a bit of a relief, you know, because it's all quite exhausting.
Yeah, it sounds exhausting just listening to you talk about it. Mm. So let's dig a little bit into the impact of that, because it seems to me that a lot of people who have the kind of lifestyle businesses that you've created, if I can call it that, if that's okay to call it that, it kind of is, although you've injected it with a lot of expertise. So it seems to me that there's a lot of pressure, or has been a lot of pressure, on entrepreneurs or misfit entrepreneurs to do that whole thing, like to do the whole, I'm going to develop something, it's going to get really big, I'm going to get noticed, and then I'm just going to spend the rest of my life traveling doing the conference route.
Mm.
But it sounds to me like that's not as fulfilling as it all's made out to be.
Yeah, I mean, we see people doing the do, and, you know, there's like sort of 7 or 8 things you have to have as an entrepreneur. You have to have a podcast, have to have a membership, you have to have written a book, so you have to speak at conferences, you know, it helps if you run a big event as well, you know, and it's just this kind of format, and there are actually programs out there that teach you this format of creating this kind of ecosystem. And, you know, I've now done every single one of those things. And it's because I always felt like I had to, I don't know, or like I was compelled to, because I'm quite a driven person. But then once you've done them all, you realize that, yes, of course, none of them are quite what they're cracked up to be. Having a podcast is a huge amount of work, and a lot of people don't get a lot of listeners. Speaking at events, it's fun, but it's exhausting and really not so great if you've got a family to look after. It's better if you're like a middle-aged white man with a, you know, someone, you know, which is why a lot of the speakers are middle-aged white men with no responsibilities. And, you know, the book takes a long time to write, and then you've got to try and sell it, and the groups and the membership. It's a bit of a treadmill. It's a bit of a path, and you set yourself up, and then it feels quite hard to kind of step back from that and go, actually, I don't want to do that anymore. And also the fear that if you don't do the things, will people still buy your stuff? But I've got to the point with my business, you know, I've always been very financially kind of driven. You know, I'm British. I wasn't well off when I grew up. So I've always been of the approach of, I have to have money. and then you get the money. Yeah, you get the money. But if you're like me, I'm not really a money person. Like, I don't know what to do with it. I don't have a car. I'm not really into shoes. You know, I don't really like eating out. So I've started to replace, my little line is, I've started to replace perfectly good cushions with new cushions. But the old cushions were fine. And it's like, you know, and so the money motivation has gone a little bit. And then you have to try and find a new motivation, which has been interesting.
Hmm. Yeah. Okay. That is exciting to hear, actually, because I think that it's true. Like, I was a freelance copywriter and innovator and startup CEO. You know, I've done it all. And I did that for 25 years. And now I've actually switched to having a job, which I've already talked about on this show before. And it's been a whole new experience for me, like completely different, and an experience I'm actually really, really loving at the moment. And I'm still got my fingers in the innovation pie, because we have this wonderful community with WITYAL, which is what's important to you in your life. And it's exciting because I get to kind of do both. Yeah. But what I'm wondering is, you know, I used to look at people going to work as like, oh, those people going to work on the corporate treadmill, oh, those poor suckers. And yet it sounds a lot like that is the experience for people who are doing it on their own as well. Like, do we ever escape it? What do you think?
I think that, you know, you can... I moved away from corporate life because I didn't want to have to commute, and I didn't want to have to report to a boss, and I didn't want to have to, you know, work so hard, to be honest. I wanted to be able to spend time with my son. But obviously I was in corporate world for a long time, and in some degree you kind of create the environment you're used to. So, you know, there's very little free in my freelance now. You know, I've got memberships with like hundreds of people in them. I'm running courses. I can't go off and sit in a hammock in Thailand for a month. You know, even though I have a lifestyle business, it's about and it's passive income. It's not passive at all. So I think there's an awful lot. And also my boss is horrible. and demanding and never satisfied, always looking at the next thing because it's me, you know. And yeah. I wasn't a good boss to other people. I'm not a great boss to myself. So I'm making it sound terrible. Of course, I've had so much opportunity to, as I said, make a lot of money, to help a lot of people, to have a lot of brilliant experiences, but don't think that I don't get on Seek at 3 o'clock in the morning going, is there a job that would make this all my life so much more simple? That I could switch off at 6 o'clock to a degree. Because obviously when you run your own thing, you can never switch it off in reality. You like to think you can, but you can't really.
That totally resonates for me. I mean, the downfall for me this year was, well, not the downfall. I shouldn't frame it like that. The opportunity for me was
I like that reframe. Yeah.
Yeah, the bushfires. And I, you know, usually by January, I know as a copywriter, things start to pick up again in January. But this year, no. It was just abysmal is probably the word I would use. And I thought, you know what? Maybe I should look for a job. You know, that would be a new experience for me. What would that look like?
The feast and famine thing. I mean, I have a community for copywriters and I watch a lot of them go through the feast, the famine. And it's exhausting, you know, and it's why a lot of businesses do fail in the first couple of years, because to keep yourself motivated through the tough times is really hard. And I think the bushfires and now this pandemic have given a lot of us an opportunity to really take a bit of a step back and look at the life that we've created and go, you know what, I don't actually like what I've created here, and maybe I don't have to keep doing it. And I think that's a glorious thing. That's definitely my perspective. I've really, you know, had a look from the outside in and gone, I don't like a lot of these bits of my business. I'm not going to do them anymore. And that's very brave, you know.
It is. Incredibly brave. So what's important to you right now? Like, what is your biggest priority? What do you value?
I think obviously this whole situation has really made me value my family. In the early days when, you know, we took our son out of school and they said, well, maybe they won't be going back till September. That to me felt insane. Like, I could not imagine that. And yet it didn't take more than a couple of weeks for us to rather enjoy having him home. And today was the first day where he could go back for a day. And I didn't want him to. And until about 10 minutes before he was due there, he didn't want to, but then he decided 10 minutes before that he desperately wanted to see his friends. Yeah. So he let him go. So I think, you know, I've learned to really appreciate my family, my home, my family in the UK that I now am not going to get to see for a very long time. And my health and wellness, you know, like, as, again, when this pandemic started, I think we all were like, okay, let's just eat all the food and drink all the wine. And then it's like, oh, this is the new normal. And this is not the bit between Christmas and New Year where you can kind of do whatever you want and have like champagne at 9 o'clock and eat chocolate for breakfast. This is our new life. And we have to try and get our routines back. So I'm really trying to focus on health and wellness from both physical and mental as well, because obviously it's been incredibly stressful. And I think I read somewhere, I'm sure you saw the meme as well, that there's kind of like two different reactions to a crisis. Some people go very inward, hibernation, they go they slow down. Other people go into absolute hyperdrive and they want to solve the problems and do the things. I was a hyperdrive person and I have done so much more in the last 2 months than I have in the last year, despite having my son at home and all this other stuff. And I'm tired now, you know, I need to take a little break.
Yeah. It's funny because, I guess I don't know if I've been a hyperdrive person. In some ways I have. Like, I've started this podcast. I've also now hosted a podcast for my employer as well. And started that just last week as well. And that's very different. So it's all about water, which is awesome because I know nothing about it. So it's great. I get to ask lots of questions of very intelligent people and kind of look curious, like, you know.
Curiosity is the best. I mean, I think that's why we're copywriters. Most copywriters, I think, are really curious. There's no amount of questions that we can't ask. And I think of myself as quite a curious person too. So that sounds fun.
Yeah. Oh, it is fun. But I totally relate to that. And my kids just went off to school this week too. So, And they were just like keen to get out the door at like 6:30 in the morning on the first day.
Yeah.
They got into trouble for hugging each other when they got to school, apparently.
I'm sure there'll be a lot of hugging and a lot of using the bubblers when they're not supposed to. But yeah, it's been a weird old time. And I think, you know, a lot of self-reflection, a lot of time on your own, a lot of forced time on your own. I'm one of those people that will do anything to a degree to avoid being with myself, you know, keep myself very busy, always have a podcast in my ear or Netflix on or doing something. And there's been a lot of enforced periods of nothing, you know, where your brain can slip sideways a little bit and you can kind of get a different perspective on things. And sometimes that's a bit confronting.
So tell me more about that. So what is confronting with just being with you in all your identities that you described earlier?
Well, I think, you know, I think very often I don't take a step back and examine why I'm doing what I'm doing or how it's going to benefit me or what end result I expect. And, you know, it's very difficult for anybody to kind of say, what does success mean to you? And unfortunately, I'm one of those people that, like many people, moves the goalpost continually. So as soon as I achieve some degree of success, I'm like, well, okay, that was good, but what next?
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm also somebody who very much likes to have things to look forward to. I'm always planning the next holiday, the next thing, and not necessarily enjoying the moment that I'm in. And these are all things I know about myself, and, you know, they are great in many ways because they've driven me to do an awful lot of stuff, but they're also a bit of a stick to beat myself with. You know, I need a bit more carrot and a little bit less stick. And I think that's my biggest reflection out of all of this. And I'm trying to make some changes to kind of take my business down a notch, take my life down a notch, not try and be all the things to all the people, and not compare myself to some of the big digital entrepreneurs out there, like, say, Amy Porterfield or Pat Flynn or Chris Ducker or whatever, because I don't have a giant team and I don't want one. It's still really just me with a few VAs and OBMs, and therefore I can't have what they have, because I don't want what they have. If you see what I mean, like, I don't want to do the things that are necessary for me to get where they are. I want to have the team, don't want to have employees, don't want to have an office. So I have to accept that there is only so far I'm able to go with what I'm doing, and I have to be satisfied with that, which is incredibly difficult to be satisfied. Very hard.
Yeah, I think there's always this pull, hey, to really just become bigger than Ben Hur. I totally get it. Like, it's interesting to me just watching like up and coming lifestyle entrepreneurs or people who are trying to sort of carve their little niche. And it's fascinating to me that a lot of the stuff that they do is really just, it's all focused on them. And I don't even know what half these people do. Like, what are they bringing to the table? You're a different kettle of fish because I know what you do. You have incredible expertise. So tell me, how is your community doing? Like, you've got a really large community. How are they doing?
I've got several communities. So I've got a couple of big kind of free communities and then a couple of paid memberships. I found, with my memberships, people, you know, we've lost a fair few people because obviously they can't afford to keep the payments up, which is totally fair enough. It's a luxury. I think people are banding together. People are frightened. We're very frightened at the beginning about what was going to happen. I've had, you know, several of my business people in my groups have storefront businesses that have been closed for this whole time, or they were masseuses, or so that's been hugely challenging, trying to get, you know, the allowances and the benefits that the government is giving out. Other people are thriving. You know, I've got people in my community who sell wine, who sell natural health goods, who sell online courses. For me personally, this has been one of the most successful months I've ever had, but I never in any way played on the crisis. So I wasn't like, oh, this is the time to learn SEO because of COVID-19. I had launches planned. I stuck to them. They did okay, you know, and I feel like that was the build-up from years ago of building communities of people. So people aren't buying based on what happened this week. They're buying on something that happened 2 years ago. But I think now people are kind of, lots of people have tried to pivot and do new things, but then realizing it can take quite a while to launch a new thing and for that thing to become successful. I think the biggest thing that I'm trying to teach my members is some kind of, trying to build some kind of financial security around having a bit more of a diverse income, around using things like profit first to kind of use envelope systems to save money for a rainy day and create a buffer, and have an emergency plan, because this will happen again. I mean, we've had two major incidents this year already. If you count the floods, three, then, and it's not like this is going to stop. Something else will come along. So I'm just trying to say, like, it's too late for this situation, but don't let it be the thing that when everything goes back to normal, you put that on the back burner again, but rather you think, how can I prepare for the next crisis? And I think it's just having a little bit of financial security, whatever you can have, and maybe spending a bit less money on some of the more frippery things that happen in business, you know, like the events and the conferences and the you know, the beautiful electronics and the stationery, just really realizing that's a luxury. You know, the $10,000 coaching package with Bob, you don't need that. Spend less money. That's one of my big things that I try and preach, you know, because I never did any of those things. As I said, first event I went to pro blogger, I'd had a business for 7 years before I went to one event. I've never had a coach. I've never bought a course. You know, I've got an old Mac. It works fine. You know what I mean? Like, you don't, it's often it's like the paraphernalia or the armor that you wear to go into business, but you don't really need a lot of it. A lot of that's just to bolster your confidence. You got to try and find that confidence from within, you know?
Yeah. Oh, I so agree with you there. And I think that that's the thing that drives a lot of people, is they feel like they need to go out and get validation constantly. Do you find that?
Absolutely. And I mean, even, you know, still even now, like the other day, I actually did buy a course. I got sucked into the funnel. And then as soon as I bought it, I was like, I do not need this. Oh. They had a 14-day refund thing. So literally as soon as the welcome email hit my inbox, I got instant buyer's regret. And I was like, I have bought this for affirmation. I don't need it. You know, maybe I need like one module out of the 60 because I'm already doing this thing. So I asked for a refund and hopefully I'll get it. They said yes. We all have those moments. We all have those moments of doubt, and we want something to prop us up and make us feel good. And it can be a new Mac, it can be a course, it can be a ticket to an event or an expensive business coach. But often I think most of us, we know what to do. We're just not doing the do, you know? We know if we just sat down and wrote all the ideas down in our head, we probably have a year's worth of stuff to do, but we just don't do it. We want someone to tell us. We want a boss. We want someone to tell us what to do. We're desperate for it. Yeah. We all think we want to be independent and freelance and do our own thing. But then you get it and you're like, what do I do now? Please tell me what to do.
Yeah. And do you think that that is almost an insidious thing, that we kind of get sucked into from one funnel to the next, and it's always following someone else's agenda for what they want for their lives, not what we want for ours? What do you think
totally.
About that?
Yeah. And also it's what worked for them. Like even with my big SEO course that I have, I do kind of say to people, when I was doing SEO back in 2009, it was easier. There were less people doing it. It's harder for you now. This is what's worked for me. I do keep it up to date with current trends, but I never in any way say, this is the template. This is your success path. This is your template for success. This is one methodology which may work, but you have to adapt it to your own business. And I think that's the fear. People want a shortcut. And they're like, look at Bob. Bob's done this. He's done it quick. He's lying on a Porsche, covered in money, drinking champagne. I want to be Bob.
Oh, Bob.
I know Bob. Whereas I'm kind of like lying on a Fiat drinking tea and biscuits. We want a shortcut. And then as you know, there isn't really that many shortcuts. Some people get lucky, but you don't know their situation. Maybe they had support from a partner or a parent or investment. Maybe they just got really lucky and hit the market at just the right time. Often when you ask people who have been like really quickly successful or virally successful, they have no idea really how they did it. They really don't know, but doesn't stop them having a $10,000 mastermind, you know? So it's hard not to believe the hype, because we all want to be successful, and I'm doing air fingers for the podcast listeners, and we all want to be liked and we all want to be, you know, so it's hard. And I still get sucked into, so, you know, it's an ongoing thing.
Do you think that the key to people's success is not so much about doing all the things and having all the things, but more about listening?
Listening. I think it's about being satisfied with what you have, because otherwise it will never be enough. And you know, recognizing what hole you're trying to fill. I mean, all of us have probably got some kind of issue around not feeling like we're enough. And therefore we try and fill that hole of not enoughness up with stuff, whether it's buying things or, you know, addictions to stuff. And work can be an addiction, you know, business can be an addiction. And it's kind of trying to go really accept that you are enough, and that none of this stuff that you're doing is going to make you any more enough. And that's a really hard thing. And I think it only comes with it, to be honest, age. You know, I'm so much less of an idiot than I was 10 years ago. I mean, I'm still 90% idiot, but I'm so much better at recognizing my conscious and subconscious mind and going, oh, look at me doing that. Why am I doing that? That's a bit weird. Maybe I shouldn't do that. You know, I'm better at having the gap between the me, myself, and I, as I said, you know.
Yeah, it's like all those little voices just going off. I read something interesting about that the other day. Eckhart Tolle's book, The Power of Now. Have you ever read it?
No, I haven't.
I highly recommend it. It's a hard read though. You kind of go over it again and again. But I reread a section where he talks about how we think we're our thoughts and feelings. And so we identify with our thoughts and feelings as if they are us and who we are. And then he says, well, actually, you're not. You have the power to go beyond that to the next level of enlightenment, which is basically you're observing your thoughts and feelings. So when you're being, I'm not enough, I'm not good enough, you can actually step outside of that and go, that's interesting.
It's so important that we're not our thoughts, we're not really even our actions. You know, it's an interesting concept and, you know, something I'm still trying to get my head around on, but I just do recognize behavior. The way I have it is I'm like, there's like five stages of behaviorism, you know, often 2 or 3 weeks after we've done something dumb, we have the we have the realization that it wasn't a good choice. Sometimes it's the day after, you know, like with my buying that course, for example. Sometimes it's in the midst of the decision.
Yeah.
We manage to stop ourselves. Sometimes it's a day or two before, like we start to feel the itch. And sometimes it's before even that. And that's where I want to get to, where you're like, I'm in a bit of a weird phase at the moment. Like I'm feeling a bit vulnerable or I'm feeling a bit down. I need to recognize that so I don't act on that and do something crazy. You know what I mean? Like in my business or in my personal life, like I'm feeling a bit vulnerable today. So maybe I won't spend too much time on social media today because I'm going to be triggered by someone. I'm going to have an argument with someone. I'm going to take a step back from that. Other times you're in the middle of arguing with Carol in a Facebook group about something that doesn't matter. And you have that realization of, what am I doing? Why am I arguing with Carol when I could be watching the telly? And I think that's the process as well, especially when you're so online all the time, like I am, you know, learning that, like, as I'm starting to type in capitals, just going, actually, there's something better I could be doing right now. Let's walk away from Carol.
Yeah, yeah. Look, part of my role that I do at work is I work with mainly innovators and CEOs, and I manage a community of them, all in the water industry. So it's pretty cool. And
yeah.
So there's not a lot of punch-ups and arguments, right? They're pretty collaborative. So that's about all I can really say about that exactly. But it's well, funny.
I manage a lot of especially my Kate Toon group, which is eponymous, which is obviously incredibly egotistical, but I just didn't want to come up with another brand. A lot of people posting very personal stuff there. I can see posts because I approve them, and I can see posts that are just going to set the group off. And it takes quite a lot to just go, you know what, I'm not going to let that post go live because it's not, I don't want to just throw the bomb in and watch everyone argue. I don't want to throw the chip into the middle of the seagulls and watch them all go after the chip. It's just not what I'm about. You know, I want as little conflict as possible because you know, I just can't cope with it anymore.
Yeah. So part of my job is teaching people how to handle conflict and how to handle negative comments online, particularly. Not that there's a lot, but sometimes there can be controversial comments. And because, you know, water is an environmental industry and there's a lot of different angles to it. So, yeah. And it's funny because I think a lot of people just don't realize that they don't have to argue, that they can just listen to another person's point of view, and that there's actually, they're just words. They're words on a screen. They don't mean anything unless we put meaning into them, right? So
yeah.
And that's where the reaction comes.
Yeah, you're also, though, you're I can't really even remember one case where I persuaded someone of a different opinion by arguing in Facebook. Yes. You know, like you're not going to change someone's mind.
No,
and you're just not getting anywhere. It's hard. And negative comments are hard. I think if you're being criticized, it's hard not to react to those because we take them to heart.
Personally, yeah.
Yeah, but you know, I very much separate, again, what I do from who I am. Like, you can criticize, you know, someone once sent me an email saying, "You're too ugly to send me emails," which I thought was fantastic. I loved it. These days I just screenshot it and put it into my social media, and it's a free piece of content. I love it. But you know, the other day someone bought one of my courses and she said, "Look, I really don't think it's what it should be. I feel like you've really falsely advertised this. I want a refund." And you know, I sat there for a minute and I went, "Okay, have a refund. I'm not going to argue with you. I'm not going to win. If you're that unhappy that you write a big email with capitals in, just take your $60 back and go and spend it on sweets." You know, picking your battles is so important. And, yeah. And often if you've made a mistake, most people just want a simple sorry. And if you haven't made a mistake and they're just being idiots, the best thing you can do is just ignore them, because that totally takes away their power. And I love ignoring people. It's an incredibly powerful thing to do. And just it's fabulous.
Oh, good on you. So tell me, from this whole experience, so when the pandemic's over and life is slowly getting back to a new kind of normal, I don't think it'll go back to what it was. What's it going to look like for you? Like, what's going to be important for you?
I mean, I really hope it doesn't go back to my normal. I want to slow down. I want to simplify. I understand that that's probably going to mean some quite hard work for the rest of this year, because dismantling stuff is difficult. People have expectations. Mm. They want you to do stuff and you have to go, "Well, I don't want to do that." And people get upset. So I'm dismantling things. I would like next year to do some traveling, but do some traveling for pleasure. Like, it doesn't have to be for business. I'd like to try and be a bit more satisfied with where I am. And I want to really enjoy my son, who's 10, because he's not going to be 10 for long. And I want to really enjoy, you know, it's really brought us closer together, this experience. I feel like I understand him better. We communicate better. And I want that to keep on going. I don't want it to slip back to be honest, where it was, where I felt like I was beginning to lose him to teenagerdom too soon.
Yeah. I totally get that. I've been through that. I have a 20-year-old who I would love to spend more time with, but yeah. He moved out of home. Mm. And, you know, this flatmate actually messaged me on Facebook last night and said, "I'm really concerned about Liam doing blah, blah, blah." Sorry, Liam. But I thought it was funny that his flatmate was texting me saying, maybe you should pull the mum card. And I'm like, I don't know if that makes any difference these days. He's 20.
No, I know. And this is it. Like, 20 will be here like that. And, you know, when my son has moved out of home, then I can do some more of these things that I want to do, you know, the books I want to write and whatever. I'm hopeful that being an older woman in digital will be a possibility then, because obviously it's very geared towards being young and beautiful and blowing confetti on Instagram. But
I don't know. I think we do all right. Look at us.
Yeah, we're all right. We got it. We've got it. I mean, I look rough. Rough as a badger today.
I'm amazing. Yeah. I look amazing. I don't know about you.
You do.
I mean, I think you look pretty amazing too.
Super hot. I just look really hot because it's really hot in my office. But
is it? Yeah. Oh, I think you're looking really great, actually. To be honest with you, I've noticed that you went through a weight loss thing, didn't you, a few years ago, and you just like,
yeah.
I was so inspired by that. I'm still on the cusp of that. I feel like there's a hill that I've still got to get over to get to the other side of that. Starts with drinking black coffee, which I did today.
Yeah, it starts with not continuing to start is what I found, because I just kept on going, "I'll start today. Okay, I'll start tomorrow." But and now I'm on the flip side of trying to maintain that, which is a whole different kettle of fish. But yeah, I just hope that I don't start doing the do again because I'm on the treadmill. I want to make conscious decisions and really, you know, be one of these people who doesn't say yes to stuff and then immediately regret it. Someone who considers the thing before they agree to it and then commits to it. I don't want to be someone that lets people down either. So I really want to go, why am I doing this? What's the benefit? Is it good for me? You know, I don't want to keep flagellating myself to achieve this kind of success because it's not fun. you've got to enjoy the journey, not the destination. You've got to enjoy the struggle, but I don't want to struggle quite as hard as I have been. And I think that's been a great outcome from this experience for me. If we can have positives out of it, that's the big positive for me.
Beautiful. Okay. Well, when I end these shows, the thing that I do is I acknowledge my guest. So Kate, I want to acknowledge you for coming on the show, but I want to acknowledge you for being an inspiration to a lot of people. You really do make a difference to a lot of people with their copywriting careers, with SEO, with just being a human being who is constantly looking at yourself and being really honest and authentic with people. So I want to acknowledge you for that.
You're going to make me cry. Do people cry at the end of this? It's like being on Oprah Winfrey. Stop it.
I am no Oprah, but totally. I'm almost crying. I love that I get to do that, to be honest with you.
It's like one of those situations, though, you know, when you're on the cusp and you're like, please don't be nice to me. Don't be nice to me or I will cry. So stop right there, Cara, or I can't take anymore. I can't take it.
Oh no. Oh, that's okay. Look, I think you and I need to have a few more conversations about that whole me, myself, and I thing, because I think there's something there to discover.
I've realized I need to see what, not necessarily the light at the end of the tunnel. I just need to roughly know when the tunnel is gonna end.
It feels like
quite a long tunnel.
I totally get it. And, you know, good on you, because I've seen a lot of your posts through the last few weeks particularly, and it seems like you're providing a sounding board for a lot of people, which I think is really important, particularly when you have a big community as well. So keep it up, and thank you so much for joining me on the show today.
It's been brilliant. I'm so lovely to talk to you again. I'm really glad we've reconnected. It's fab.
My pleasure.
Thank you for joining the conversation today. It's been my great pleasure. If you'd like to share live on the show yourself, PM me on Facebook via the WITYAL page. That's WITYAYL. And tell me why you'd like to be on the show. Let's have a chat. Until next time, be safe.